Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, church. Alana, thank you so much for that testimony. God is indeed good, and he has his eye on you. Yes, that is a great testimony. Thank you. Thank you so much, Alana, for testifying and for coming for the Thursday prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. Yesterday, we had an opportunity. I'll just say me and some people in this church, but particularly I'll point out Christine. We met someone older, way older than us, a father, and we were having this discussion. And it was animated, it was heated. This person is a professor, and we were assured there and then, like 3 minutes into the discussion, that we are not thinking at the same level. You know how you're like, but how are we going to proceed even sitting here when this person... You know, there are some things you think, but you never get the guts of saying them or the boldness. But we were assured, we were summarized that we are not at the same what? Thinking level and understanding. But we stood our ground on some of those things that we were really convinced about. So when some were talking about the punishments or the things that parents tell children, because remember I told that this person is a parent, he's old, dignified, you know. He was right in a sense that we were not at the same what? Thinking level. So we, on one hand, yes, it is true, because he has a wealth of experience. He's seen so many things, years, and all these things. And me and Christine were there. Me, Christine, and a couple of other people who I'll not mention. But yeah, we were there pressing in and pressing in. And at the end, the conversation ended well. But we were children to him. We were children. And at one point, we were told, it was a big group anyway, we're told that we have what? Nappy problems. The problems we have. This generation put on nappies. Yes, so the problems we have come from there. So, Alana, you're not the only one who is assured. Even the people who stand here, once in a while, we are put in our places and we have to be humble and accept it. Glory to God. Amen. So, another hand clap for the worship team. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you so, so much. Hallelujah. Amen. Last week, we talked about entering the promised land. And today we are going to continue with that. Glory to God. Amen. We are going to continue with entering the promised land. Last week, we shared two dreams that our family had through Kwezi, our son, where God was telling us that he is lifting us from one level to another. He's restoring us financially, putting us in a wider place. And I'm glad that during the week, many other dreams came through. No, another dream came through, not many. Another dream came through, simply stating that you know, concerning financial prosperity, LAT, we are getting there. Glory to God. Amen. We are prosperous. We are going to be prosperous. We are going to make wealth. Glory to God. And now is the time. Hallelujah. Now is the time where we shall experience this prosperity. Particularly, I remembered concerning finances, the dream that there is a lady who used to come to church then, but now she no longer comes to LAT. She had a dream when Kenneth Copeland had come to LAT. I don't know if there are people who remember that dream. So I've always wondered, I'm like, yeah, okay, people testify about money, breakthroughs and all that, but I kind of don't see that Kenneth Copeland kind of breakthrough. So I've always asked God, tulikuchi, like, what is it exactly? So last week, we had a dream coming through. I think we shall share it at the appropriate time. That God now gave us not a Kenneth Copeland, but yes, God gave us a go-ahead that, yeah, this thing is actually happening in LAT. We are going to be prosperous. We are that is one of the places we are entering. Glory to God. Finances is one of them. But you see, when you are prosperous financially, it's especially if you are walking with the Lord, it's indicative of many other things. Glory to God. It also means that in other areas of your life, you are prospering. Hallelujah. Amen. So, as we enter this promised land, that's just one of the areas. Finances is one of the areas, but there is a lot more. Why? Because we have great and mighty promises, bold promises from the Lord. So, I'll just go through a very quick recap of what went through last week. That sometimes your promised land is a physical place, just like for the Israelites, but more than just a physical place, it is abundance, a place of abundance, prosperity, a place of increase, a place where you enter your place and you dominate that place, a place of dominion. Glory to God. And this can happen at a corporate level or at an individual level. For us, sometimes God will do, as we started the year, we're asking God to do something new. And with these dreams coming in, I feel and I know they're in tandem with what God promised us. The old promises that we had, He is going to fulfill them in our promised land. Amen? So when God makes a promise, usually it all starts with He has made you a promise. Then you go through a wilderness. And then after the wilderness, you enter the promised land. And after the promised land, after entering your promised land, then you settle and you take possession of your promised land. We also learned last week that the wilderness is not necessarily like a place where you go because you are walking in disobedience. Sometimes you are smack right in the obedience, walking in obedience. But guess what? God will take you through a wilderness. God will take you through a place and a time of growth to prepare you for His promises. Glory to God. And we thank God. So we don't look at the wilderness as a negative thing. The wilderness is a place of growth. And if we know this, if we understand this, then we shall make most of those seasons where things are not what we expect them to be, even when we have the promise of God. So we also learned last week that when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, He took them by the longer route instead of the shorter route. And that is very key, because in our lives, that is how sometimes things work out. God will sometimes take you through the shorter route and things just happen, you know, popcorn style, pa, pa, pa. But many times He takes you through the longer route. Why? Sometimes a shorter route is not safe for you, just like the children of Israel. That shorter route was the common route. It was the most obvious route that you could take from Egypt into Canaan. It was a trade route. People used to use it. It was established. It was, you know, there was trade, there was food, there was water along that route. But again, at the same time, that route was not safe for the children of Israel. He knew that if they had faced war, because that's what the Bible says, that He knew if they had faced war, that they would actually go back. So we remember that when we are going through this place, the longer route, don't be so quick to complaining, because you actually do not know you don't have the entire picture of why God is taking you through the longer route. And we talked about how to enter the promised land. Basically, it was really remember the lessons you have learned, walk in obedience, and walk in faith. That is what we talked about last week. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God, LAT. Amen. So we're just going to continue with that. As I was preparing for this sermon, there are particular things within those three pointers that I felt God telling me to go back and to come back here and again explain. I actually had a dream about it, that I was standing here and I still had my 3 points. And in that dream, God was telling me to go deeper. with the 3 points. So in preparing for this sermon, that's where I come from. Glory to God. So I'm telling you things that God has told me to tell you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes, I'm telling you things that God has told me to tell you. He knows why. I was like, but God, tuachimaze, can we move on to something new? I could say so many things about entering the problem. There are so many things. But just because I don't say them, maybe I'll not say them, doesn't mean I don't know them. Or it doesn't mean that they are not relevant. But for us, where we are right now as LAT, we need to be established on those three truths that we talked about last week. Hallelujah. So whatever I'm going to share, I may share from the LAT perspective, but like I said last week, get these things and make them your own. See how they can work for you. Appropriate them at an individual level. Hallelujah. Amen. So we talked about remembering the lessons that we have learned. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses 9. You guys, God wants you to hear this again, and I don't know why. God wants you to hear this anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses 9, it says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and grandchildren. So, God wants us to remember. God wants us to have value for history. You know, I read it somewhere that if you forget your history, you will not fully understand your present and the role you have to play in your present. Glory to God. If you don't understand where you came from, as a church, if we don't understand, if we forget our history when we were small, when we faced all these challenges, if we don't value that history, we shall not fully understand our role when we enter the promised land. And we shall not understand that role and what we are supposed to do. You know, it's good. History, you don't want history to repeat itself. But sometimes, because we forget, we end up doing the same old thing in a different way. So God doesn't want us to forget where we came from. God doesn't want us to forget the way we obeyed Him. At this point, as the children of Israel were going to enter in Deuteronomy, when they were going into the promised land, there was a sermon. Moses, their leader, spoke to them, preached to them. And when you start out that book, it starts with a history. Remember when you were slaves. This and this happened. And when the Lord showed up, this was the reaction. When you disobeyed Him, these were the consequences. And then the Lord did this. And then He gave you a law. And you know, He took them through that history. This was a man who was about to depart. But he knew his people so well because he had led them. He knew that, you know what, if these people do not value where they came from, they will not survive in the promised land. Glory to God. So he took them through sermons and sermons. It wasn't anything new because it actually feels like when you read the book of Deuteronomy, it feels like it's a repeat of the Exodus. It just feels like it's redundant. But God doesn't want us to forget. If you ever forget where you came from, if you ever forget your history, then you are in trouble. You have to remember your history. It is only when you are humble enough to remember for such things, when we were few, when you'd come for the prayer meeting and there are three people. One thing I really thank God for in LAT, by the way, that we had that time when we were many. Because then the picture of being many becomes easy for me to relate to. Because I know I was here when we were many. I was here when the prayer meetings would be more than this. So it's easy for me to relate to that when I'm thinking about where God is taking us and the big numbers. Glory to God. So I also thank God that I have my own personal dreams concerning LAT and how we shall be big. So it's easy for me, like when I'm thinking about our history, going back to those dreams, I'm like, you know, like you go back in a dream form, dream mode, and you're like, this is what I dreamt. It was like this and this and this. In one particular dream, Lydia was there. She was sitting in front of me. This is what was happening. It is good. Like when God shows you these things, don't just share them, Jade. And you never revisit that dream you had about the choir. Don't just share and you say, baby, I'm Musumba. No. Musumba doesn't make the church. We all make LAT. Glory to God. We are in this thing together. So we must remember our history. In remembering your history, put a lot more emphasis on God's faithfulness. Emphasis when you are remembering your history, when you're going down the road, don't think about we didn't have anything. No. As in, remember that even that meal that you had then, it was God who provided it. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there are people, every time they remember their past, they just cry. they cry and cry and cry. But God doesn't want you to remember your history for you to cry. Amen. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 to 14. Moses was telling the children of Israel this. And today I'm telling LAT this. Prosperity is coming. We are entering a promised land. Hear this, LAT, that when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which he has commanded you. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver prosperity and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, this is what will happen. Then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When we are big, let us not forget. When you have got that job, when God has lifted you, let us never forget our history. And you see, forgetting does not take special effort. You just wake up in the morning and you don't remember. But remembering, you must be intentional. Glory to God. Forgetting is so, so easy. And that is why God knew the children of Israel. And for the things that he did for them, he said, no. Celebrate the Passover, that you may remember this one. Get the memorial. Like God is really was so intent on helping his children to remember. Glory to God. And this shows that, like I said last time, God doesn't want people to forget. He doesn't like abana bida bida. So he was so intent. He tells them, get the memorial stone. Celebrate these things. Glory to God. Celebrate these things. And, you know, when you read that all these things about remembrance, you come across things like remember not to forget. Do not forget to remember. Remember to remember. Like you can call it whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, you must not part with your history. Do not part with your history. And then do not let anybody look down on your history. Be very confident about where you came from. Never forget your history. It is those things that remind you that, you know what, keep humble. Keep humble. Keep humble. You are where you are because of God. You are where you are because of God. Do not forget your history. And again, like I said, don't let anyone take it away. To date, when we go to Entebbe with the children, I'm like, no, let us pass through the estate. And I show you where I grew up from. And the questions are endless. Sometimes mom's like, mommy, she even screams like, what? How did you do this? And I'm like, yeah, we did it. So don't let anyone okubanyoma because of where you come from, LAT. Because out there, when the Egyptians, the Bible says when you read Deuteronomy, he reaches a point, now when they enter the promised land and they have their first battle with one of the tribes, I think with the wall of Jericho, God tells Israel, I have rolled away your reproach. They needed to get to a point where that thing chabali vaina of slavery had to be rolled away. Yeah? And it happens, but I've seen this a lot, that when you get to a place, there are people who will always remind you, you are that broke person, you are that broke guy, you are that broke church, you are that church that was small, you are what? People who always carry that thing, yeah? I don't know what I can call it, but they know you by that, and they will try, because you see, conquering, taking possession of your promised land is war. And out there, you're swimming with sharks, yeah? Because it was a new place for the Israelites. But I think God knew that this would keep working on them, on their psyche. You are slaves. We were slaves. And remember, slaves were the lowest people of society. So God knew that in as much as they conquered over Nebatukawa, they will always be known as the slaves. So God told them, today, I have rolled away your reproach. Glory to God. So even in your promised land, maybe you haven't had a job for a long time. Maybe you have been broke. Maybe you have been single for a long time. If you get married at 50, there are those who say, fumbira mukuru, jaja mutini. By the way, those stupid things can work on your side. Jaja mutini, what? You find someone who has had maybe a previous, and these things are true. You find someone who has had a previous relationship, has had a child, but then God now gives them a new destiny and whatnot. And that thing just goes, hey, you're the one. You're the one who had another child. You're the one. No. A time comes when God rolls away that reproach. Glory to God. And I want to let you know that whatever reproach you have as LAT, in our promised land, it's going to be rolled away. That time comes and God is like, I have rolled it away. Glory to God. Yeah, so we are entering our promised land. God will roll away your reproach. Do not listen to that nonsense. Don't listen to that nonsense. Bwobango li muchala mugumba, you know. Hey, mugumba azade. No, as in don't listen to that nonsense. Oh, he finally got a job. Nga he grasped for a long time. Oh, yeah, asabe sent. Those things will, you know. Oh, their house was small. Hey, ingababela, as in, please, just don't listen to that crap. Amen. Know that your history, that is your history. You have nothing to do about it. You are walking with God. Especially if you didn't even have a part to play in it. Well, Sanga, you're doing the right thing, but it was a wilderness. It was a place of growth. So do not regret your history. Glory to God. Don't regret your history. And some of these people talk to you out of like sheer jealousy. They are just jealous, but they channel it on you and you do not know why. Yeah. So, Alana, when you go back, don't be there, to school. Boy, I got a what? D, what? Abiyagwa. That chapter is gone. Now I'm here. That's what you should have in you. Now I'm in HSC. Oh, I'm in high school. You have to be confident. The other, ogogwali mulembo, ogogwagwagwagwa. Hallelujah. Then, number two, as we enter our promised land, faith. You are going to find yourself having to walk in faith. A lot more faith than probably before. Amen? When God was giving the children of Israel laws, he gave them laws on worship, on celebration of the Passover, and all these things, how they should go into the tabernacle on worship. He gave them laws about sacrifices. But one thing that really stood out for me is, for such a generation that worshipped other gods, that did all these things, God forgave. Why couldn't he forgive the sin of unbelief? Why is it that it was unbelief that caused them, not the worship of other gods? Because even when they went into the promised land, they still worshipped other gods. Okay? They made unholy unions with those tribes and they started worshipping those gods. So I was like, what is it about unbelief that God said, you know what? I have heard it. When they tested him, when he told them to enter the promised land, and then they sent out the 12 spies, and only two came back, God is like, you know what? You guys, I am done. none of you is entering the promised land apart from two people. I felt that was really a big deal. As we enter our promised land, let us remember that God calls us to be partners, as we have done before, to walk in faith. You must walk in faith. Amen. Numbers 13:32. There's something I want us to see about this verse that I hadn't seen before. It says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. In NKJV it says, they brought a bad report. Here it says an evil report. Unbelief is evil. According to God, it was evil. Because for me, I was like, it just wasn't bad. Bad is light, you know? But why would something bad warrant such an extreme response from God that he would tell you not entering the promised land? According to God, unbelief, doubting him, testing him, using your unbelief is evil. Many times, we walk in unbelief and we do not know. Many times we doubt God's character. You doubt his nature. They doubted his character. They doubted his nature. They doubted his might. After he had showed them all these things, they still doubted him. And to God that was evil. Can you imagine? To God that was evil. Yet, what the report the spies brought back to the children of Israel were actually facts. They were giants. They were the sons of Anak. They were Amalekites. They were all these people. And the land indeed was huge. So this report was to a certain extent accurate, the report of the spies. But you know what? What wasn't right was them saying that God cannot surmount the giants. So I want us to remember and to take this very, very seriously, that we have to walk in faith for us to enter our promised land. Use your faith to partner with God to do things he has promised you. Don't use your faith for other things that God hasn't promised you or given to you. Glory to God. Don't start now believing for land that belongs to Teddy, for a job that belongs to, somebody else. No, use your faith. It is simple, by the way. Use your faith to work with God, partner with God for things he has promised you. You have no business say, hey, now I'm using my faith for LAT over for things that are not there. For us, our promises are clear. Glory to God. Is there any promise of LAT that is not clear to you? And we go through our history. No, there is all our promises. They are simple, not easy. They are simple, but clear. They are not easy, but they are simple and they are clear. So we have to use our faith for only and only those things. Isn't that easy? You know the reason why people actually end up not walking in the fullness of their destinies? Because they want to use now their faith to do things even God hasn't told them to do. Glory to God. So as LAT, Hebrews 1-2 tells us to mix God's word with faith. Mix God's word with faith. Hebrews 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as unto them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You have a great promise, bold promise from God. Mix it with faith. Believe him. Believe God. Believe that we trust God on the basis of his character, not on our experiences, not even on the testimony you had. Yes, God has done great things for the Isokis. God has done great things for the Musinguzis. But God has even greater things for you. You all don't have to stay in Sasalubowa. You can stay in Kasangati. Glory to God. You can stay wherever. Yeah, in Mbuya. You can stay in Kololo. Yeah. So get that word, the word that you have, mix it with faith. Amen. And what does faith require us to do? What does faith look like? Very quickly, faith has to do with the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we act. You know, I don't feel that I'm the kind of person, like I'm not a faith preacher, so probably I'm not going to deliver this point the way faith preachers deliver. Hey, yes, faith can do anything. I may not be like Kenneth Hagin, yeah? But this is what I have seen and tested. This is what I have seen in the Word of God. What I have seen work for me. Work for people that are around me who are of good repute. The way you think, the way you speak. Proverbs 23, verses 7. Let's talk about the way we think. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Yes? Yes. As you think in your heart, so are you. The children of Israel, the Bible says, looked at themselves as grasshoppers with a mighty God. Then they looked at the other guys as giants with a small God. What kind of equation is that? You look at yourself as a grasshopper with a big God, and you look at the other person as a giant with a small God. As you think, so are you, actually. If you think you are... And you see, faith is not saying, no. Faith is believing what God has said. So you don't come up with anything except for me. If you don't have the money, you don't have the money. You're short of money. Like they say, you are financially challenged. Like they say, nowadays there are very swanky words to mean brokenness or poverty. I have a shoestrap budget. Eh? And you're like, all right. I am pre-rich. I've heard that also. I am pre-rich. Yes, you can say all those things if they are going to make you not feel broke. But as you think, Eleti, so are you. If God has gotten you out of bondage, you are free, yeah? So you cannot now keep thinking of yourself as, you can't keep having a slave mentality. Glory to God. It's like a woman who gets married and she still thinks of herself as a single woman. You are destined for trouble. Men who get married and then you still want to live as what? As a single guy. For you, in your mind doesn't change. Doesn't change. And remember, man, I have to go back early. I have what duty to do. No. Eh? Like, as you think in your heart, so are you. Let the thoughts that God thinks of you, let have the same thoughts. We talk about these things, we laugh at them, but they are very difficult to do. Why? Because while walk so mozebwa kwa amani, there are a lot of challenges from within and from without. Glory to God. Because you know yourself, you know your capacity. You know yourself, you know your capacity, you know yourself so intimately, like really, really well, that when someone tells you that, Alana, you're the head and on the tail, you're like, but that D, eh? I say, Kwezi, you're the head. Like, you play guitar so well, you're like, but I was missing all my notes. Man, you have to keep thinking the thoughts of God about yourself. Think what God thinks about where he's taking you. Think what God thinks about where he's taking you, about your land, that land that he's giving you. Think those things. Amen? You have dreams. Go back to them, revisit them, and think. Let them meditate on those things. And should there be a challenge, because we are all tempted, yeah, to think about ourselves, about God's promises, a certain way that doesn't glorify God. We have 2 Corinthians 10:5 about how we should treat such thoughts. The Bible says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Being ready to punish all disobedience where your obedience is fulfilled. Get those arguments that you think that are contrary to what God has told you and bring them down, cast them down, and exalt what God says above all those things. Amen. Concerning, I'm just talking about faith, concerning our speech. Proverbs 13, verses 2. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. You shall eat of the fruit of your mouth. What is that which you speak? You continue, you guys, God is telling us that he's giving us money. You continue speaking brokenness. Watch it start on pre-reach. But you continue speaking brokenness. You are going to be real broke. Yeah? You are going to be broke. So let your speech align with the things that God is saying. Because God has said that, you know, I'm giving you wisdom to make wealth, or I'm giving you prosperity. Speak those things. We shall make wealth. We shall be prosperous. Amen. Oh, we are prosperous. Glory to God. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It is up to you. We are talking about faith, mixing the word of God with faith. All this is part of faith. If you can speak death right into a situation that God wants to prosper. Okay? So, speak life. Let your words align with what God is telling you. Then, the thing about our actions. Do what God tells you to do. Glory to God. Do what God tells you to do. Let us go to Joshua chapter 3, verses 8. Joshua chapter 3, verses 8. Now, in this portion of scripture, God is preparing the children of Israel to cross the Jordan. All right? And he's giving them the strategy on how to get there. It says, he tells him, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come out of the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. 15. And as those who bore the priests, the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows and all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from the upstream stood still and arose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that was beside Zeratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Araba and the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Take me back to 15. It says, as those who bore the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. Verses 16, the waters which came up, that it is only, when you look at 15 and 16, it is only and only after the people who are bearing the ark of the covenant went and stood. By that time, by the way, it was still flowing. But they went and they were like, Kali, we are just going to stand here. Action. It's only when they stood in the Jordan that the water stopped. Now, this is the thing about God. You see that the way he led Moses was a bit different from the way he led Joshua. For Moses, he told him, when you reach there, put up your rod and the water will separate and you guys will move. That was faith in one aspect. But then we see another angle of faith here, where it is only and only when the children of Israel did something that actually these waters parted. They stopped flowing. Glory to God. This is amazing. I don't know if you're seeing it the way I see it. But there are things where God will require you. He has given you the word. But he will require you to take action before you actually see something happening. Amen? He will require you to take action. He will require you to put in that bid. He will require you to send that CV. He will require you, and only when you have done that, do other things open up. I keep telling my children about our testimony, and I'm like, you see, God told us to start with 10 million shillings. But if we hadn't started, who was going to give us money? Who should give you money to build when you're not even building? Why should they give it to you? And I'm not saying that God cannot give it to you. He can. But you must be very discerning of the fact that there are sometimes when God will require you to take the first step. Especially for those things where he is very, very clear. God will require you to take the first step. And then you will see the miracle happening. Now I'm not saying, I think sometimes the faith movement now makes this religion. Just go and do. But no, I think there is a level where a Christian should discern and know, is this what God wants me to do or not? You know, there's a time I read something that said, do everything that you can do according to you and let God do only what he can do. If God has told you to do something, move. If you're going to get married, I don't know why some of these things apply in the normal, the mundane activities, yeah? If you're going to buy land, people go and they do the research, yeah? If you're going to get married, even a year before, people start looking for wedding gowns. Who's going to be my service provider? Having meetings, what essence is jakuja, yeah? But when it comes to other things, they don't. Now, how are we supposed to give you money? They haven't even started the wedding meetings. How? Hey, Alan, how? Me, I don't have that faith that the bride will come as the wedding meetings. Eh? No, but you understand, you get the point. Eh? There are things where, in I think it was Luke 17, 11 to 14, Jesus tells the lepers, go, you'll get, you're well. Imagine they had said there and said, now, Jesus, please, are we well? We are not first, show us. No. The moment he said that, they started moving. That's a story up there. They started moving. And on the way, they were made whole. They were made whole on the way. Glory to God. Amen. So I thought that, I don't know, Eletia, that is where we are heading. That is where we are heading, where you discern and say this, I feel this is where God is telling us to go. And by faith, you step out, yeah? And then you actually start to see doors opening. You start to see waters parting. Amen? So let us walk in faith. Let us believe this God. Amen? Let your thoughts, the way you speak, the way you act, be in tandem with God. This is not a time to say, manange, erafe, we are like this. Yeah, we were under attack. Yes, the attack zaba, wone zigwa. Now we are entering a new season. It's newness. Amen? My husband knows. This is the last story. My husband knows. When we were expecting, you know that book, what to expect when you're expecting? By now, me, I got the book, I read it cover to cover. Eh? So I would tell some, but some, expecting father. There is even like a chapter here for you. And the guy is not on the things. He's like, yeah, but I'll be like, but how do you think baby will come? That time Kwezi was here. So Kwezi doesn't like it. So that time I said, but Kwezi is coming, what? And I would say, Bananga, you read, You read. So I read. For me, that was going out to see the land, what to expect. I read my Bible. I said, but Sam, there is even a whole chapter. Bambi, can I even tell you what is in your chapter? Expecting fathers, eh? And Sam will be like, oh, but we're going to give birth. But you see, let me tell you, sometimes on these faith things, Mokama Gwaba, what the instruction here, Fana Cho. you reach a point and you're like, you know what, God? Me, I'm going to die with this thing. If he's not reading, it's not going to stop me from pursuing what you have told me to do. You will die in the thing. Yes. Glory to God. Yeah, so, if you're the Mugole, what you expect Andrew to be thinking about your gown. No. He will just say everything will be good. Echonacho, good. But for you, you're the one who knows the detail you want. So, let us speak. Let us act. Let us walk in obedience. Let us use our faith in this phase. And you know what? Remember your history. Don't be in bondage with your history, but remember it. Remember. Amen? Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.